You're listening to In This League
on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ace. Featuring Bogman.
Oh, the yummy silence. Oh, it tastes so good, you guys.
Oh, he's on tilt. He's full tilt.
And the Welsh.
Nice.
Bogman, let's not overreact.
Are you serious?
Make a little pick. Get down tonight. What?
Nice.
You high scores, the bad.
Visit InThisLeague.com for full podcasts and more. Coming to your ears now.
What is up? What is happening? This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Chris Welsh, a.k.a. The Welsh. Right there, that's Scott Bogman. And you can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports, for the In This League Fantasy Series, where we do our show here every week on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We've got a couple replays as well. But if you want to check out everything we have going on, go to InThisLeague.com. We have shows. We have podcasts for every single sport. Fantasy, baseball, basketball, football. We've got a prospect podcast. We've got an NFL draft podcast. Bogman actually just did a great interview little series on the In This War Room podcast with Chris Harris from Harris Football. So you guys are going to want to go check that out. And I've been did some Jim Callis prospect baseball podcast. We did some sleeper ones and a whole bunch more is going on. But today, what we plan to do with you right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Bogman, is we are going to bust out our Yahoo ESPN Fantasy Baseball Ranks Analysis show. So it's a little bit less on the funny today, but a whole lot on the information, because the ranks have been adjusted. And one of the most important things we always tend to think is knowing how to take advantage of the two sites you're drafting on.
Yeah, you got to take this one seriously.
This one seriously.
Show.
This time it counts.
Serious man. Yeah. Every other time it didn't count. I always loved that slogan, this time it counts.
This time it counts.
But last time it didn't count. I mean, I think they still go on the record book as far as I'm looking. But
yeah, unless there's an asterisk, but yeah.
This is probably the most informative show you'll get from us for the entire season. It's fantastic.
Maybe the only. The only informative show you'll get from us all season.
It's extensive. It's a pain in my ass, and I'm glad it's over.
Yes, that is true. So we're going to be breaking down you know, what site has guys high? You know, who does Yahoo have high and low? Who does ESPN have high and low? Where there's no consensus, because we're also going to use Fantasy Pros and NFBC. And then where some sites are just completely missing players where the other has it. So this should really be a good primer for you getting ready for your fantasy baseball drafts. But Bogman and I are also out here in Arizona, which is a huge advantage during the wintertime because we get to laugh at everybody when you're laughing at us in the summer when it's 140,000 degrees. But the big thing, the important thing, spring training. Clapter.
Spring training.
Spring training. It's the most exciting time of the year. And actually, next week, Bogman and I, we may do some hits right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, so be on the lookout for it. But next week, we are going to be going all out on spring training games. I'm taking the whole week off. I'm hitting a park every single day during the week. We're going to go see White Sox Padres on Monday, A's Diamondbacks on Tuesday. We might see a WBC team, all that. But we did hit a few games this previous weekend on Saturday. Bogman went and saw the Diamondbacks Rockies. I went and saw the Yu Darvish game, Rangers versus Royals. So real quick, little scouting report, Bogman. What did you see in that game with the Diamondbacks and Rockies?
Well, I saw Charlie Blackman played really well. Arenado played really well. But the big thing to me from the whole game was, you know, in the home openers, this was technically because the Diamondbacks-Rockies share the field, so this was the Rockies' home opener. So they had their good lineup. It was everybody except David Dahl, who's out with a back injury right now.
Forever.
And Trevor Story didn't play. Those were the only two guys, starters.
It's actually a good thing, because when Bogman and I are around Trevor Story, he only hits multiple homers every game.
It's just anyone in a Diamondbacks hat is around Trevor Story.
That's
he hits
true.
A home run.
Good point.
But my you know, it's not so concerning because Chris Owings isn't like a super high draft pick or anything. But Chris Owings played with the Scrubs the day I went, and the day before, where they had it was the Diamondbacks home opener, and they have most of their starting lineup. He wasn't in that lineup. It was Nick Ahmed. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. Do you want to hear a scouting report, the Welsh?
Yes, please.
Don't get the brisket sliders at the barbecue place at Salt River Field.
Oh.
They're dry and small. Go if you're going to the barbecue place, get the nachos with the pulled pork and the beans and all the stuff on it. So that was fantastic.
You're doing the food scouting report for us right now.
Yeah, my cousin got the nachos. I was very upset that I didn't get them.
It's funny because he's fat.
I'd originally ordered them, but they had diced tomatoes all over them, and I don't want diced tomatoes.
You don't like the consistency in your mouth.
No, it feels like brains to me, because one time I had a BLT after I watched Hannibal 2,
Brains, lettuce, and tomatoes, was that what it was?
Right, brains, lettuce, and tomatoes, that's exactly right.
Okay, just checking.
And it almost made me puke, so I don't do diced tomatoes. And then when my cousin got him, he comes over to see, there's no diced tomatoes. I'm like, what, no tomatoes? He's like, oh yeah, they were out of them.
Did you know you can also ask for them to like not be on there?
I did. Don't treat me like I'm never ordered food.
You're prostituting yourself over cheeseburgers again, aren't you?
Man's got to eat, Julian.
Well, I'm just... Well, yeah, I know you are scouting it.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you say?
The dude was like, oh, it just comes with everything on there, you know.
Except if we don't have them, and then we can't put them on there. What would you grade on the 20 to 80 scale, the sliders you had?
30. Not good. Small, dry, cold, not good.
Like Nick Ahmed. That's like a Nick Ahmed grade. His offensive grade,
unless
at least.
You're talking about the fielding, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's his hitting tool. All right, so yeah, there you go. There's the food scouting report from Salt River Field. So, Bogman, I went out to see Yu Darvish because they moved his game to Sunday, and he was going against former top prospect Kyle Zimmer, who's trying to recapture or create a career that's just been a disaster so far. Here was the cool thing. The minute I get in there and I look to the left and I'm like, what is this out in left field? There are things happening. And I walk over and MLB Network is there and they're filming 30 clubs in 30 days. And I'm looking and there's the one handsome guy with the hair that I'm jealous of that's not thinning at all, like Casey Stern or something like that, who hosts all those things. And then there's a guy who has, you know, balding hair, which made me feel great. And I'm like, who is this bald guy?
Was it a mirror?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, who is this guy that doesn't seem so happy about sitting in this chair over here? And I look and I get closer and I'm like, that's John Smoltz. I'm like, it's John Smoltz. I'm like, I'm not going to always fan out. I mean, sometimes I would, but I'm like, that's John Smoltz. So I hang out. And then after, lots of people are asking for autographs, and I just kind of hung out to, like, you know, meet John Smoltz. And I can report, could not have been more miserable signing those 12 autographs. Faux show. And then I walk to my seat, and I walk past, guess who?
I don't know.
Not Krispy Kreme, our Best Shape of Our Life reporter, Peter Gammons. Peter Gammons is walking
Peter
by.
Gammons.
Not a human being recognizes him or is even near him. And it's just like me and him are walking down the corridor together. And I'm just like, that's Peter Gammons. But it's a little bit of rough shape. So I was like, maybe next time. I mean,
at least he's walking. At least he's still getting around.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. But it was really cool. That was a cool way to jump into the game. And then I got into, obviously, the game. The minute I sat down, Ryan Rua just destroyed a ball off of Kyle Zimmer. But Yu Darvish is what it was all about. He looked electric. His stuff is filthy. He was practicing. I think he was working on a split that they didn't want him to be doing, because he walked a couple, struck out a couple. But the weirdest, and I saw Joey Gallo, Jerks, and Profar. And if people want to hear some of the scouting report, they can go listen to our most recent fantasy baseball podcast, the ITL Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We talked a little bit more in depth about the scouting reports of, like, Jerks and Profar and Raul Mondesi. But the weirdest thing was, there's a guy named Mini Darvish.
Like Kobayashi.
And as Darvish left, this guy starts going up the stands to leave, and I'm like, is that you, Darvish? Nope, it's Mini Darvish. Identical. He's wearing a full-on Major League Baseball Rangers outfit with a number 11, but it says Mini Darvish on the back, and there's this woman following him. So, cut to the end of the game. I'm leaving. I'm actually on the phone with you, and I walk over, and I see through the crowd, Mini Darvish is walking. And you know that look where someone's like pumping their chest out? Like, oh, yeah, hey, Mini Darvish in the house. He's walking through the crowd like that, and this woman has a camera and she's filming him. And I was like, oh God, they're filming something right now. Like, this is
a Mini Darvish documentary.
I'm going to go look it up. I don't know. Search Mini Darvish. And that's what was happening. It was, and people were just, everyone, like, you know, in like every, you know, there's like one rude person somewhere and everyone else looks at each other and they're like, this guy, you know, and everyone agrees. Like, everybody in the stands, we're all looking at each other and we're like, this guy, this Mini Darvish guy. We're all laughing together. So, weird first experience, but spring training is here. If you want to follow along in all of our exploits, make sure you're following us on Twitter at Is It The Welsh, at Bogman Sports. Maybe you'll hear some updates here as we go through and see lots of games, give you lots of information, like we're going to do in this show right here. We have got ranks analysis coming up the rest of all 2 hours here. We're highs, we're lows, we're where it's all crazy. So don't go anywhere. Don't miss a minute of the action. It's Bogman, it's Welsh, it's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you're not subscribed and you're not listening to the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast, Prospect One, you're missing out on big stuff. We've talked 2017 first-year player drafts, the top international prospects. We've had some of the best guests in the industry, just like last week when we did a two-part series on the top 100 with MLB.com's Jim Callis. If you had to compare futures of Bellinger to Benintendi, how far apart are they? Obviously, they're different players and whatnot.
Well, you're talking to a guy personally voted Cody Bellinger sixth on his personal top 100.
Yes.
So, like, if this was just my list, they would be even closer together than they are on our list. Don't think there's a huge gap between Bellinger and Benintendi. I think the difference is Benintendi's got the higher floor. Benintendi will hit for a higher average, probably have more defensive value because Bellinger will settle in at first. And Benintendi, I don't want to sell Benintendi's power short either. But so I don't think there's necessarily going to be a big gap between those guys.
Who's up? Who's down? Hot takes. It's all happening at Prospect One. Subscribe. Check it out today.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Okay, so I think I've set the table properly enough. You understand it's Yahoo, ESPN. We've done CBS before, and it's not, I mean, we have very good friends over at CBS, anything like that. It's just, they're different because it's just a guy. It's just somebody.
Right.
Like, there's never, like, their consensus ranking or anything like that, and we always have to pick on somebody, and I just don't want to pick on anybody this time. So we're going to focus on Yahoo and ESPN.
I've also never heard anybody say, you know, oh, I really enjoyed your CBS rankings. I mean, everybody has been talking about ESPN and Yahoo. I've never heard people say that the CBS rankings thing was really
Bogman?
Helpful. I'm just saying that not a whole lot of people, not as many people participate in CBS.
Maybe we could do some Yahoo. Flea flicker ranks. Those are garbage, by the way.
Well, they had Arenado at one, so yeah, I don't want to mess with that.
I don't know. He looked pretty good when you saw him. One?
He did, but he still doesn't steal bases like Mike Trout does.
That's true. By the way, going to definitely go see Trout. That is a guarantee next week. Going to go see some Trout. So what we've got going on here is we've broken this out into different categories. So we're going to focus on some Yahoo lows, some Yahoo highs. Same thing with ESPN, lows and highs. And then we've got some of the wild and crazy ranks where nobody can agree. And then we'll talk about where players that are on Yahoo don't even show up on ESPN and vice versa. We've also thrown into the mix here the Fantasy Pros consensus rank and NFBC. And if you are so inclined, I would be happy to post the actual sheet that we're working with on the article page of this episode. So you can kind of take a look at what we were working at. We're not going to cover everything that's on this sheet because it's a lot, but we've got I think it's useful. You're going to see Yahoo, ESPN, the Fantasy Pros, NFBC as well. We put the differentials because the differentials are it's pretty bonkers when you start to look at how these sites differ. But the way to set the table here is to talk about the trends that we found. Who doesn't love that with baseball? That's what everybody's doing. Everybody is spending their time on FanGraphs. They're looking at spray charts. They're going and they're looking at XFIP and they're looking at the pitches that a guy throws and the home run to fly ball ratios and blah, blah, blah. So you're always trying to find the trends on where to go. Well, these sites have some of these trends. You can tell how these guys are ranking. You know, if we've talked in the past, is ESPN taking their algorithm and spewing it out, and then that's how the rank goes, where you have a panel that works on Yahoo. And we've actually had some former developers that have worked on the rating systems on Yahoo. We did it on the basketball site, but we've had some guys on there. So it's really fascinating. So Bogman, what's the first trend? Let's talk about the first one that you saw as we were putting this together.
Well, the first one is completely obvious because when I'm going on, when I'm looking at Yahoo lows and Yahoo highs, just most of the lows, and we'll get to it, but there are so many closers. Yahoo just kills closers, and it's not like ESPN has them ranked high according to Fantasy Pros consensus rankings and NFBC average draft picks. It's not anything like that. It's just Yahoo being low and not valuing closers for whatever reason. They have the high guys high, you know, the Chapman and Jansen are very high. Everybody else is lower than the norm, and I just thought that was very strange. I mean, it's helpful for me because I like taking closers, and usually they get taken much sooner. I don't know how much that's going to matter, the Welsh, because those runs just happen.
No, they do. Right? But the one thing to point out, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, though, is you're right. It doesn't necessarily matter, but there are guys that are getting pushed down into categories of leaving the top 200 and being pushed out into the 200 that are worthy of maybe a top 150. So you're right. It doesn't matter. But what it enables you to do is possibly snatch a closer that in the run, you might have another guy or two go ahead. And then you can be like, okay, well, I've waited one extra round, you know, while this trend went, and I still got the guy that I wanted, and I didn't have to follow them quite as much. So I know exactly what you're saying, but there's ways you can take advantage of it. And on the inverse, you got to know that about ESPN, that they're going to rank them higher. One that was really interesting, and we always find this, dude. We find it every year with ESPN, because we do basketball, football, and baseball.
Too.
Yeah, all the sports. There's always something with ESPN that they love or hate. Like, they always hate quarterbacks. They just crap on quarterbacks every year.
They destroyed quarterbacks this year.
Their thing this year is they're super high on pitchers, except there's like a Mendoza line. There's a point where that love stops, and then it just goes...
Yeah, it's a very strange tiering system, and I didn't get to catch exactly where the line was, but you can clearly see it because when you look at ESPN highs, so many, I could have put even more than what I have on the sheet, pitchers are high because it's just what they do. They just have pitchers ranked higher. I kind of agree with that this year, too, because of the lack of pitching, but it's like they get to whatever tier it is, and then they just say, okay, now it's going to be all hitters for 10 rounds. And then it's just all hitters, and then here come in the pitchers lower. So it's very strange to see the really, really good pitchers ranked much higher than you'd see them on a normal plane, whether it's Fantasy Pros, NFBC, Yahoo, whatever, or consensus rankings, and then see the lower guys that people are you want to get later. They're really low in ESPN. It's just a strange tiering.
It is a tiering thing. Well,
the way that they have.
And what's so odd is, you know, we've had the conversation, and all the good shows have had the conversation of, you know, we got burned last year with starting pitching. It's just it's no surprise to anybody. The smartest people in the industry, and then Bogman and I, all had the idea of the pitchers that we liked last year, and we got burned. There's no longer 20 in the like top tier. There's like three, and then there's like another tier, and then after you get to like tier one and two are so different than the third tier, and then it just starts going down. But what ended up happening is it's kind of like closers, actually, to be honest with you. The high guys are super high, but then there's this middle, because all these pitchers that we thought would be aces last year moved into a tier of guys that were kind of nobodies last year that jumped up. So you have guys that went down and up and created this big old clumpy middle ground where, because of the lack of aces, you just have this huge influx of pitchers that people are wanting to get, and there's runs of starting pitchers. Everything that we have done this year, Bogman, be it we've had some dynasty drafts, we were doing a three sport league, pitching still goes crazy. It's so, people are always chasing pitching. So you got to find, like, I have a strategy that I've been implementing where I don't want to follow it as deep, but there is a point where if everybody goes bonkers, you're kind of forced into it. So ESPN is high on pitchers until a point, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Yahoo seems to care more about last year's numbers on the highs, Bogman. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, on some of their high players that you'll see, and it's strange because they do have a bit of a mix, but I have seen some of the players that we expect a regression as far as maybe age or team or something along those lines, injury, they have those guys ranked a little bit higher than the other places, especially guys that had some better numbers.
So what's safe to say is,
off the bat, like Odubel Herrera, they have at 118. and he you know, ESPN has him at 140, Fantasy Pros 135, NFBC 135, and they've got him at 118 or 102. I'm sorry, they have him at 102. So they're kind of looking at last year's numbers and saying, we like what we saw from Odubel Herrera. We don't expect the regression that other places do.
Well, I'll tell you.
I just found that a little bit interesting.
Well, and it's really difficult, and this is where my value-based drafting stuff sometimes hurts and sometimes is beneficial, where I really got a hard time paying for last year's numbers. And you have to make the, you know, the decisions of how you're going to proceed with that, because there are a lot of players last year that you got late that won people leagues. Odubel Herrera, Jonathan Villar could have just been picked up off the wire, and you might have won your league because of those guys. You know, so that happens. There's a lot less of that this year, though there will still be players that work in that, that you are and I believe maybe more than ever, you are heavily paying this year for last year's top performances, and then you get some really good players that are falling, and you got to find the mixture of buying the guys that do hold that value that you're paying for while getting some steals of players that have the top two-round potential. So there's a lot of that that's sitting out there, which, and some of those players, by the way, that you can get values on this year are in the outfield, and ESPN is lower overall on outfielders. It seems like they like the depth at outfielder outside of the top tier type of guys.
Yeah, ESPN, the last couple points to make are all about what it looks like depth as far as their tiering goes, because they're lower overall on outfielders. So it looks like they like the depth. Their second tier of second baseman, or what you and I consider second tier of second baseman, are higher for ESPN. So I feel like they don't like the depth there. That, like, I love the depth at second base.
That's weird. Base. Yeah.
It is very strange. Yeah. And we'll name off the guys in a second.
Yeah, when we get
here.
There.
And then ESPN is fairly high on most first basemen, and it looks like another depth issue there.
Well, and so I agree on that side, because we've talked about that, it. First base is crap this year.
Yeah, exactly. It's just strange to see. Like, I think it makes sense at first, and I think maybe outfield is a little deeper than I thought it was going into the year, so maybe that makes a little bit of sense. But that second tier second baseman they have just higher than anybody else, and that's fairly strange to me.
And those are some of the trends to be looking at when you're dealing with those sites at this point. So ESPN, you're really paying for pitchers. In Yahoo, you might actually, it looks like, in from the entire pitching side, from be it closers to starting pitchers, you might be able to find some value in Yahoo. But with Yahoo, you are paying on the high end of last year's numbers, which sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, and you have to find that perfect balance. So knowing these sites and where you can try to take advantage of drafting habits is important. I try to do that all the time. I can be super high in a player, but I can't say this enough. It's like it's poker. Read the room. Try to figure out who is the donkey at the table. Who's the guy that always plays the bad cards? Where are your bluffers? Read the room so you can understand, I don't need to take this player in the second round. He's, you know, NFBC, he's commonly going in the fifth round. Yahoo has him a little bit higher, so maybe I need to get him in the fourth round. That type of stuff is imperative here, and that's what we're going to try to do.
We're going to hit the brakes right here, but coming up after the break, more ranks analysis on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Prospect One, the Fantasy Prospect Podcast. Prospect
One. You already love fantasy baseball, but if you love the minor leagues and prospects like I do, why have you not checked out my podcast, the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast, Prospect One? We've had some of the best in the industry already on, like Jonathan Mayo talking about Tim Tebow.
I don't think it's going to work. I thought initially that it was kind of a joke, and now I'm trying to be a little more fair to him because he's voluntarily embarrassing himself.
Jim Callis talking about the top prospects in baseball. Would you take Bellinger over Eloy?
Yes, I would. This is going to sound crazy. Cody Bellinger is a better athlete than Eloy Jimenez.
Eric Longenhagen talking about some of the deepest and biggest rising prospects.
I do think that Maitán and Adrian Morejon merit consideration in the top 100. Maitán, certainly.
And Eno Saris talking Well,
Calhoun's like small and, you know, badass.
Check it out today. It's the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast, Prospect One. Get it on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, and check it out at InThisLeague.com. It's my baby. So check her out.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, Bogman. Well, let's strap in here. Let's start it off. And we're going to focus on the highs and lows of Yahoo. So let's start with the lows here, Bogman, where there is some interesting stuff, as well as the differentials. I think it's really important to look at the differentials between the two sites, because sometimes it tells some of the crazy stuff. What's the first one you want to focus? Let's focus on this top one here.
Well, I want you to look at this list. Three position players, and what are the rest? Relievers.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You're right about this.
We said it before. I just want to drive it home that there's relief pitchers on this list, and then there's three position players that really stick out, like sore.
And this is 11 players. So, I've got an interesting note I want to talk about when we get to the relievers. But the first one here, now, I want to preface this, because when I tell you the name and I tell you the rank, it's not like it's bonkers, but it is in the context of thinking about the first round. The difference between a guy who's a 10th overall pick and a 5th overall pick in that context is very big. It's like a guy being an 8th round pick and going in the 4th round, that type of stuff. So in that context, Yahoo, I'm wondering why too, especially when I just made the statement of you're paying for last year's numbers, they have Jose Altuve the absolute lowest across the board. ESPN has Jose Altuve at 2 overall, so we could almost put him in the high. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't take him there, but I mean, I'm not going to take him there.
Right. At
Fantasy Pros, the consensus ranking is 3 overall. He's also going 3 on NFBC. 7 overall on Yahoo. Now, we're splitting hairs, like I said, as far as the differential is 5 spots between ESPN and Yahoo, but that might as well be 30 spots, because 7, no, I've never seen Jose Altuve go 7. He's a top 5 pick. Lock it up.
Right, and that's actually where I think we both have him ranked. I have him at 5. I think you have him at 5. They've got Trout, Betts, Kershaw, Bryant, Arenado, Goldie, all ahead of him.
Oh, okay. So this is what's interesting. I mean, it's kind of a hard argument. It's still a hard argument.
Those guys are ahead of him. I wouldn't be surprised. Machado, who's below him on every list, goes ahead of him. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
It's not a surprising move. It's just that if Altuve's your guy at 3 and you're on Yahoo and you draw the 6th pick, you might get him.
Okay, I want to defend it for a second.
I don't think you're getting him on ESPN because he's number 2.
Well, no, there's no way. But a defense here real quick, though. Something you said earlier, and I completely agree with, second base might be the deepest position in fantasy baseball this year. Now, Jose Altuve is an elite player, but you and I have both agreed. People have asked, for whatever reason, this question comes up all the time. Who should I take 3 overall? And it's like Bryant, Arenado, Goldschmidt. And if you play an on-base percentage, I mean, you don't even need to play an on-base percentage. Goldie makes sense as a 3rd overall pick based on the position he plays, the numbers he puts up. I mean, the stolen bases, homers, he makes sense. Bryant and Yahoo actually qualifies at first base. Even if he didn't, he's a third base outfielder who put up amazing numbers, and the stolen bases could go up. Arenado was like homer RBI leader guy, and Kershaw's the number 1 overall pitcher. I don't agree, by the way, with Kershaw taking him there, but you can make an argument for every single one of those players.
Absolutely.
To go because of the position depth at second base, but it's really hard. I don't know how I could be at 5 and not take Jose Altuve, because he is a stuff and things do everything guy.
Yeah, and really, you know, the power came on, and we've always said, and it's a scout trope, that power is the last tool to develop. So it was surprising to see Jose Altuve develop all this power. It just wasn't surprising to see, if he was going to develop it come this late. So do I think he's going to hit as many homers as he had last year? What did he have last year, the Welsh?
24.
24. No, I think 18 is what you could expect. But he's also kind of low on the stolen bases for last year, 30. I mean, if he stole 40, would you be shocked? I wouldn't.
No, I mean, fans, when I'm looking at projections, by the way, fans is the highest they put him at with 18 homers last year. And the highest stolen bases is Zips with 37.
In a row?
Those are the highest projections for this coming season. Can I throw something at you real quick?
Yeah.
Does this belong more that ESPN is too high? I mean, ESPN has them at two. This is an argument to say both of these guys are kind of crazy. Not that I shouldn't say crazy. That's not the word to say. But you know what I mean. They're both extreme on both ends.
The reason I put it on Yahoo is because they're seven. Fantasy Pros consensus has him at three.
Yeah.
And NFBC is picking him at three in average draft position. So, you know, him being at two for ESPN makes more sense than him being at seven for Yahoo.
No, that's a great point.
I feel like you're going to have more opportunities to take him seven. Like, I think there's going to be tons of opportunities to take him seven because people will pass on him because they don't believe the power. It's one of those things that we talked about before where we said, don't say that he can't hit 24 homers again because he just did.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a good point.
But there's another point to be made, and I understand that says I'm not paying for last year's numbers. The one point I would make about the second base and depth stuff, when I'm picking in the first round, I don't care about depth at a position at all. I want who I feel is the best player on the board, regardless of position.
Yeah, no, that's a great
even
point.
If it's Clayton Kershaw, I don't care.
Kershaw.
I will find. Okay, you say Yahoo, and I didn't.
I do say Yahoo.
It.
I know. I hear myself say it, and I'm like, oh, stop it.
But as far as position goes, I'm just taking the best player. Make up whatever the difference is later.
Last argument on this, because I don't want to focus this whole episode on this. But the guys I have at 5 and 6, I know exactly what you're saying, but I think it's literally the heads or tails argument to doing it. What do you do about Goldie or Altuve? I mean, the numbers are pretty close. I mean, let's take a look here. You have Jose Altuve, 24 homers, 30 stolen bases, and you have Goldschmidt, 24 homers and 32 stolen bases. They both had over 100 runs. I mean, their numbers are almost identical. The only big difference is average between the two. But then you've also got, I mean, you've got one guy whose power kind of might trend down, one guy's who might trend up, and then you've got first base, which is pretty bad compared to second base. Is that the time where you're going to make that argument?
Yeah, for me, I'm taking Goldie at three. I've got Altuve at five behind Bryant because it's exactly what you said. I feel like Goldie's going to hit more home runs this year, and Altuve's going to hit less. Is it going to happen like that? We have no idea. I think you are kind of splitting hairs at this point, but I think you're guaranteed more power with Goldie. You're guaranteed more stolen bases with Altuve. In most cases, I don't think that Goldie's going to be stealing 32 again. But I feel like, and with power, you get runs and RBIs. They all come together when you have power. So that's why I take Goldie. I think he's more of a guaranteed thing.
Another really interesting one here. Let's focus on the first couple rounds here of Yahoo. I said it right that time, right? Yahoo.
Look at you.
Yahoo. Kershaw. Yahoo. Yahoo is the first. What is it going to be called now? What's the stupid website going to be? Yahoo.
Altadena.
Altagwe. Named. It's something like Altagwe. It's
Orca.
Altaba. Altaba. That sounds awful.
Altaba sounds like a terrible, like, hard fruit candy.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think that should be out immediately. Yeah. Or it sounds like,
oh, God, it's Halloween and we got Altabas. Blech.
It also sounds like the brand new Fangraphs measurement for like homers through fastballs that are under 85 miles an hour. It's like, we've got your brand new Altaba graph for you. That's what it sounds like to me.
Like a penis pill, you know.
Okay, thank you for taking it to that.
Yeah. 4 hours later, you know.
Yeah, well, it's all the things that Yahoo will be. Is first base. So we're talking about the scarcity of first base here, and Goldie is ahead of Jose Altuve on Yahoo, but they seem to be down on Freddie Freeman, where ESPN has Freddie Freeman as a second rounder, but Yahoo has him as almost out of the third round. I mean, it's a lower half third round. ESPN is 20 overall. Freddie Freeman is 31 on Yahoo. That's a 11 spot difference. And NFBC is what?
I said it's almost a full round.
Yeah, it's almost. Well, I mean, positionally, it is in a completely different round. But it's, yeah, you're right. The differential is almost a full round. Fantasy Pros consensus is 23, and NFBC is 26. So I mean, you actually could get a deal on Freddie Freeman. He's typically not going in the third round, but you might be looking at a scenario here where, if let's say you have the first overall pick and you get Mike Trout, and then you're coming back on the wheel of the second round. You could get your second baseman. Maybe you could get a starting pitcher. Maybe you could get Chris Sale to pair with Freddie Freeman and Mike Trout. That's not bad.
I have a problem with the third round because I want to take like every player in the third round. I think they're so good, but I actually kind of side with Yahoo's lower ranking on Freddie Freeman. Not because I don't like Freddie Freeman. I have him at 26, so I'm kind of in between there, but I think he's more of a third rounder than he is a second rounder. Even with the depth issues that we have at first, I don't think that I can take him over guys like Votto and E5 and Bumgarner, Syndergaard, Marte, Sale, Correa, Blackman.
Black.
You know,
I have him. I have him. I split the middle, actually. I have Freddie Freeman at 27 overall. So he's a third rounder for me, but he's like an early-ish third rounder. So again, if you wanted, this could come back to an interesting argument, Bogman. Maybe if you had the third overall pick, you take Jose Altuve, and then maybe in the third round, you can get Freddie Freeman.
I love it. I love that strategy, and that is a good strategy. But if Altuve went second, I have no problem taking Goldie and doubling up with Freddie Freeman later.
It's not happening in ESPN. That's the point. Yahoo's a little bit down on him, so Freddie Freeman actually might be a little bit of a bargain first baseman as people are taking E5, Rizzo, Goldschmidt, and you know Freddie Freeman is one of the last players in that kind of tier of first baseman that you want to be concerned with. So that's interesting. Last hitter, I feel like this has always been the case. But Miguel Sano, who's going to play third base this year, there's a 29-pick difference between ESPN and Yahoo, where Yahoo's actually low this time. They're always the one that's high. They have Sano at 145. ESPN has him at 116. His NFBC ADP is 115, by the way, and Fantasy Pros is 124. Am I wrong here that I kind of think he's a little going high right now? Like, I kind of side with Yahoo a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I've been down on Miguel Sano this whole offseason. What have I said? The Welsh have said, well, a guy that's going to hit 230 and hit a bunch of bombs. You can find that in almost any round. So, but I am higher on Miguel Sano than even Yahoo is. But I do think he's going high, but I got him at 136.
Let's see that. Okay, this is funny. I have him higher than everybody here. But this is a matter of I want him a little bit later. I want him a little bit later. It's just how my rank went out. He's going to drop down a little bit, and I'll actually probably be closer to NFBC, ESPN area. But the thought of still, it's kind of the same thing where I like, I mean, and it's value-based drafting, where, you know, I like guys like Javier Baez, like, I like guys like Miguel Sano, but I don't want to overpay, even if I have them ranked a little bit higher. Those are players I want to see popping back a little bit. I still want, and I mean, I'm not going to adjust my rank to it, but we really need to see Miguel Sano do it. It's just interesting to me that Miguel Sano, he's essentially a top 10 round pick in ESPN. And he's massive, massive swing and miss. I mean, what did we say, Bogman, when we did the third base? We were doing that corner infield rank show that you guys can go check out. We did five straight episodes, and Miguel Sano had the highest strikeout percentage of any player at third base.
It's scary. You know, if he hit for a better average, I wouldn't care about the strikeouts. But the 230 average plus the strikeouts really scares me off of Miguel Sano. But let me look at some of these players that are going around him. They've got the three hitters ahead of him are Fowler, Tulo, Realmuto. You're taking him over all those guys, right?
I sure am.
And the guys below him are Tomas, Perez, and Gattis. I think the only guy out of this grouping that I'm taking Sano over Sano is Tomas.
No, I'm taking Sano probably over all of them.
Yeah, I'm getting third base.
I'm getting third base out of Sano with that power. I would take him. I think I'd take him over Tomas. Yeah, maybe. Maybe I am.
I understand. I'm taking Tomas.
I'm the ESPN.
I feel like Tomas is safer. I think Tomas is going to hit 250 on his low end. I think Sano's low end is like 210. So I don't want to mess with it.
So the last thing as far as the Yahoo lows go, because obviously we're not hitting every single one. There's others. I thought the argument of what they're doing is interesting with second and first, and then you see a guy like Miguel Sano. But I want to gloss over it. I want to talk about this relief pitcher situation, the closer situation with Yahoo and how low they are. We're going to bust through. I'm going to give you I'm going to list these off, Bachman, and then we'll talk about any that you really find interesting. But I'm going to just preface this by saying every single one of these guys I'm talking about has a 40 or more spot differential from Yahoo or ESPN. 40 or more. One as high as 82 spot differential between the sites. They are in no way on the consensus of each other. And ironically, you know, the Fantasy Pros and the NFBC, it all sides on the ESPN side of this. So Yahoo went rogue here. So I'm going to give you some of these. Zach Britton, that's one that's not 40, by the way. When we were talking about the elite ones, 84 on Yahoo, 69 on ESPN. Nice. 69, nice. But here are the crazy ones. Wade Davis, he's 98 on ESPN, 144 on Yahoo. Give me a break. This one, very, very popular guy I want to target, and I told you in the closer episode this would be a prime one of my closers, so not paying for him. Kelvin Herrera going 105 on ESPN, which I don't love, but 177 on Yahoo. Jesus. Familia, 112 on ESPN, 171 on Yahoo. Ken Giles, 113 on ESPN, 155 on Yahoo. But check this one out, dude. Alex Colome, a very popular option right now for a lot of people. He's the sleeper closer because you're not paying quite the price. ESPN kind of wants you to pay the price at 132. But Yahoo says, nah, don't worry about it, brother. 220. 82 spot differential.
20.
Get out of here.
You know, the only thing that I can think of, the other two guys I don't want to gloss over. I'm sorry to interrupt you, the Welsh. Dellin Betances, 55 difference at 159 on ESPN, 214 on Yahoo. Tony Watson, 261 on Yahoo, 187 on ESPN, wow. A 74 spot difference. Do you think that maybe Yahoo has this right because of the turnover history of the reliever position?
That's a good point. I mean, no, because I think there's some disadvantages here. Well, I'm
me
just
neither.
Trying.
No, like, I agree with you.
Yeah, because there's just a couple things here. By just demolishing the rank of them, it puts drafters at a disadvantage. Like having Colome down at 220 when the closer rank starts to go is going to have people scrambling. You should be mindful. Because these are all just stupid projections where at the end of the day, most of these places are in the general vicinity of each other. I mean, the Fantasy Pros consensus on Alex Colome is 153 and then 132 on ESPN. That's similar. By the way, NFBC, he's 101 when he's 132 on ESPN. But when you get a player like Alex Colome, who's in the 220s, you're burying him. So conceptually, you know, the turnover of the position makes sense. But when the run goes, it's giving untrained Yahoo users a disadvantage at the closer position. So try to take advantage of it, you know, and pick some of those names when people are taking them high. It might allow Colome to drop to you. Instead of him being 132 on ESPN, you might be able to get him at 150 or 160. Ken Giles, who I really like this year, maybe you don't have to take him. He's 89 on NFBC. Maybe you don't have to take him at 1 or 110. Maybe you can get him at 130. Those are the hopes. matchups. That's what I hope Yahoo provides users, not screwing them by burying players. Yahoo does that a lot, where they bury players into the 2000s that make zero sense, and you really got to dig. So your logic makes sense, but I'm not sure that's what they were necessarily getting at.
Yeah, it's nice for the people that like to take relievers. If you don't like to take relievers, you don't like this ranking, because all it does is bury the relievers that you weren't going to take anyway. So I see it as being a little bit frustrating.
All right, so those are some of the lows there. The closer situation is very, very interesting with Yahoo and a couple of the top-end guys. But now let's go look at the things that they're doing on the high end, where it could end up costing you a little bit. And the first guy, it's the center of all fantasy controversy. Why some people just for shame Yahoo. I actually like it. I like that there's a little bit more flexibility. It's personally what we use, and I'm not as hateful as most people. But Kyle Schwarber, he is the culprit here, where ESPN has him at 72. That's also his Fantasy Pros consensus rank. Going 76 in NFBC, but that's probably a little skewed from early drafts. Yahoo is set him up at 56 overall, but he does have catcher eligibility. You're going to have to pay a fifth-round pick for Kyle Schwarber. Anything later, it's in the realm of where you want. What do you think about that high? Where do you sit on that? Because that is, what is that, Bogman? That's about a 20, or that's a 16-spot differential. So, I mean, that's a full round easy, and you're almost getting into the, you know, round and a half to two.
You know, I like Schwarber, but I think that that is a touch high for him. I mean, I feel like fourth round, third round is his ceiling, so I don't want to buy him there. And I know he's going a couple rounds after that. I just feel, I don't know. But like you tell me, because Stanton I have ranked within reasonable striking distance of Schwarber. And you'd much rather have Stanton, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I have Stanton ahead of him. I mean, here's
would you rather have Schwarber or Will Myers?
I wonder how I have that ranked. I probably have Will Myers. I have them next to each other, by the way. I have Will Myers right behind Kyle Schwarber. And I've talked to myself, and I'm, by the way, we've got our new update coming pretty soon here to the ITL Army for our top 300, and we'll have some adjustments on it. Here's my problem, and I know what you're getting at with Kyle Schwarber. There's a couple things. I'm a Kyle Schwarber believer, so that's probably my first fault. So if you're not there, just don't listen to me.
I feel like I am too, though.
Yeah, just don't listen to me if you don't like it. He's going to lead off with the Cubs, which I think is valuable. He's going to score a lot of runs. He's a big homers guy, and it's going to give him a chance for more at-bats, and he's a guy that is going to play catcher that's not going to play that in Yahoo. Now, he might play a little bit of catcher that at some point is going to give eligibility to another site, but don't hold your breath. Here's the other thing, though, and people may feel different about this. I have not found myself in a place where I feel positive about this. The fourth and fifth round I don't love. I really don't love the fourth and fifth round a whole bunch.
But you're willing to take a risk. I like that.
I am willing to take a risk when I get to the fourth and fifth round. But the secondary part, which would cause me to not own Kyle Schwarber, is that that's a typical round I start to go pitching, because I'm not going pitching in the first three or four rounds. And in round four to five to six, that's where starting pitchers are going to go. So when I own Kyle Schwarber, it's when he starts to fall to the sixth round or something like that. So I have him ranked high because I think statistically he's going to have a great season. I'm a believer. Love that he's going to hit leadoff as much as he actually possibly will. And I don't think the Yahoo stuff is egregious. Would I do it? Well, it just depends who's there. But take your shots, because the fourth and fifth round, it's kind of wonky. It's filled with a lot of goofiness. There's players that you're kind of paying some prices for. There's a lot of underperforming players that are sitting in that category. You know, and I say underperforming players and prices last year, you're dealing with the Will Myers, the Ian Desmonds. And I kind of do lean towards both of those guys now. I'm pushing a little bit more towards both of them. And I would, my drafting habits, I would probably take them over. So that's why my ranks will be adjusted a little bit. But I mean,
he's going higher as far as ESPN drafts go. He's going as the second catcher behind Posey over Sanchez and Lucroy.
Well, he doesn't qualify as catcher on ESPN.
I understand that, but what I'm saying, because he's 56 on Yahoo, and we're talking about Yahoo, but would you take him over Sanchez or Lucroy?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's not even a question to me, especially if I have catcher eligibility out of him on Yahoo. It's not even a question.
I think, you know, I like the leading off thing because he's going to get replaced at the end of the game. So I feel like he's going to get somewhat normal at bats.
Yeah.
I don't like the leadoff thing on the other hand, because I want that dude to be hitting like five to be driving.
He will. He's not going to be. It's like that same thing. Remember how excited we got about DJ LeMahieu? And then he's going to hit eight. And we're like, oh, crap. He ends up moving to the top. It'll be fine. Right. He'll move around. I think they'll experiment. If he struggles, they'll move him down to five. Or if they have they have some injury issues, they could change that up. They have a lot of flexibility in that lineup and a lot of guys that can get on base. And Kyle Schwarber, I'm just a believer in, where everybody wants to crap on him, that he's no different than Jay Bruce or, you know, whatever. Pick a 260, 30 homer guy, and that's the comparison people want to give to Kyle Schwarber, but I think he's a lot better than that, and he's in one of the best lineups.
Jay Bruce is better than people think, too.
All right, well, that's the end of the hour, but believe me, there's a whole lot more. There's a lot to talk about when we're talking about Yahoo versus ESPN and everything in between. So get your fantasy baseball primer all set with In This League right here, coming up in hour two, so don't go anywhere. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, we're back. It's hour two of In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't miss a minute of the action of all of our shows over at InThisLeague.com. And make sure you're following Bogman and I on Twitter, at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. You're getting spring training videos. You're getting pictures. You're getting wackiness. You're getting, I had to pay up a basketball bet, a garlic bet, which I did a Periscope, and a lot of people watched it, and I suffered through it deeply. So, and we put it on our YouTube channel, so YouTube.com/InThisLeague, if you want to watch me suffer through eating raw pieces of garlic and Bogman just bellowing laughing at me as I do it and almost throw up. But we got a whole bunch more here. Let's pick right back up where we left off with some more ranks analysis.
The rest of these guys, the Welsh, this is the area where I was talking about. It seems like you're paying for last year's numbers. We've got Evan Longoria going at 76 on Yahoo, 97 on ESPN. His Fantasy Pros ranking is 80. His NFBC is 107.
That's not great. That's okay. Okay.
Kemp is going at 72 on Yahoo, 100 on ESPN, 82 on Fantasy Pros, 96 on NFBC.
I'm guessing that the Yahoo guys, they got the Krispy Kreme report that Kemp is in the best shape of his life, obviously, if they're having him at 72.
I think you're absolutely right. He's in the best shape of his life, the Welsh. Felix Hernandez, Odubel Herrera, Tim Anderson, and Brandon Moss. The only guy that's in this range that Yahoo has high that didn't perform last year is David Peralta.
45 spot difference between ESPN. He's 210 on Yahoo and 255 on ESPN. I don't know if I disagree with a lot of these, to be honest with you.
Neither do I. To be honest, I have Longoria higher than 76.
Do you really? Let me look and see where I have Longoria.
I've got him higher than 76. I have him right in that range. I think I got him at 75, so it's only one spot higher. But if you look at what he did last year on a team that was actually sneaky good with hitting, because Brad Miller had 30 bombs, like, this team wasn't as bad as people are making him out to be. But we, once again, we don't want to pay for last year's numbers, but I feel like Longoria has a real shot to get finally traded this season.
Yeah, that might be the case. I'm actually surprised by this myself, that I'm on the low end of Longoria, because I like him. I think he's a good option. I'm more on the ESPN, but you know who the player I'm on the Yahoo side on the high is Odubel Herrera, and I beat it because I love Odubel Herrera. I love the power speed combo. You know, they gave him the extension, and he's very, very shortly going to be playing with a bunch of young guys, so that's a guy I'm very aggressive on, and I'm beating the price of Yahoo last year. But it's odd when you find yourself in that place, because I don't disagree with your Longoria assessment, and I could see it, especially because third base gets kind of crappy when you get into that 100 range. When you miss out on the top end, and you're missing out on Beltre, and you're missing out on Rendon, Longoria and Franco are kind of like your last hope.
And Franco's having another spring, man. I think he already has two bombs.
God, he is the spring. scoring master, already. Dude. He is
sprint king. If the season started in March, he would be amazing.
He's the greatest spring training player I think we've ever seen. He might be the greatest.
Stanton, pretty good spring, if I'm remembering correctly.
He's usually coming off of an injury, so he doesn't play enough games. So.
That's coming from the Welsh. That's not even coming from me. What about Tim Anderson? 203 on Yahoo, 274 on ESPN. So basically, it's going undrafted in your 12-man standard at ESPN. I love Tim Anderson this year. He's like my low-end shortstop guy that I want because he steals bases and he hits for average. His lineup may not be fantastic. And they have Charlie Tilson slotted as the leadoff guy. Man, I think that's going to fall to Tim Anderson.
Yeah, well, actually,
I mean, he doesn't walk. So
they actually that's one of the problems. But they did hit Tim Anderson in the leadoff spot in the opener. The White Sox opener on Saturday against the Dodgers. He was in the leadoff spot. And by the way, Bogman and I, Monday, March 6th, will be at the White Sox, so we can check this out. I've always been a Tim Anderson believer. I think he's had some sneaky power that's always been sitting there. He's totally a 20 stolen base guy. His problem, like a lot of young guys, which does have me worried, is that sophomore slump, the swing and miss, because he doesn't get himself on base. He was just under 30% strikeout percentage, and he walked 3% of the time last year, and he had a really high BABIP, so you got to be careful about that. He hit 283, but he had a 375 BABIP. But he played a lot of games last year, which makes me feel good. I think he's a total 200 area drafter, and I'm not talking 270. I'm in with you on the 200 range. Okay. When you're chasing late speed, I mean, I would be curious to look at
shortstop.
Yeah, exactly. In shortstop, I would be curious to see the guys that are in the 200 range. Where's the speed that you can get post 200? Between 200 and 250, how many guys are there that you really get serviceable playing time plus 20 stolen bases and double digit homers potential? Not a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he had 9 last year in 199 games and 10 swipes. So, yeah, I'm thinking, you know, maybe would you be super shocked if he went 15-25?
I mean, I would be surprised.
I mean, I don't think he will. Like, I would put his numbers at, like, you know, 14 and 22. Like, that's probably what I'd put him at. But
yeah, I think that's safe. I mean, projection wise, nobody has him under double digit homers, and only Zips has him under 20 stolen bases. So, I mean, you're looking at a 10-20 guy, at least as far as the industry is concerned. If you're getting 270 plus, and imagine if the White Sox do, you know, start hitting on the back end of the year, and you got Moncada and you got Tim Anderson, and I mean, they sell a Frazier and a Abreu. I don't know. I think Tim Anderson is he could qualify as like a sleeper type of area. But the positive here is you can take advantage of him in ESPN and Yahoo. I still think it's fine. You're not taking advantage. You're not getting necessarily a discount. But I think he should be a target once you get to that 200 range. I'm not sure exactly where I have Tim Anderson. If I just
I got like him at 207.
Okay, I got you beat, Bogman. You want to know where I have him?
Is it over 200?
Yeah, it's under 200.
Or under 200. What 190?
177.
Woo!
Yeah, baby. I'm in.
You like Tim Anderson. I'm surprised that you like him more than me. I talk him up, I feel like, more than you. That's always one of those surprising things.
I just want speed. I want late speed. And, you know, I joked on the Friends of Fantasy Benefits episode that what's going to happen, you know, the scarcity of stolen bases, that's going to be this year's homers. You know, everyone's going to probably steal 15 or 20 stolen bases this year. But when I have the option, okay, I'm going to ask you this, Bogman. Tim Anderson or Jonathan Scope? They both don't
Tim
walk.
Anderson.
They both strike out. Yeah. One gets homers and one gets stolen bases and some homers.
I think
I have Tim Anderson ahead of Scope. I'm telling you that right now.
This is a crappy answer, but it depends on how you built your team.
Ooh.
If you're looking for but it's true. If you're looking for the late speed and you don't have speed, I want Tim Anderson. If I've got speed built in, if I've taken a lot of Charlie Blackmans that are like half and half, that kind of stuff, the power speed combo guys, then I want the power from Scope. So it's a tough answer, but I would probably say, you know, if I'm in a vacuum, I think I'm taking Tim Anderson because I like the power upside with him.
What about Felix? We've talked Felix a whole lot. I know you're not necessarily a believer this year. I'm a little bit more in that camp. You're not getting any discount on Yahoo at 118. His NFBC was 135. That's his consensus Fantasy Pros rank. Yahoo's almost being like, hey, you want to assure yourself you get Felix? Take him at 118. Because everywhere else is between 135 and 140. Everywhere else. And Yahoo just says, no. We want this the middling of Felix Hernandez. Maybe he's going to be this year's Justin Verlander. I don't know if I kill that price, but I don't know if I love it. Because I'm more of a believer.
I won't own Felix Hernandez. So for me, I love it because I draft in Yahoo and he's a high pick now. So I'm liking it. But
you're liking it, but first because other people will take him.
I don't think that it's I don't think that it's an appropriate ranking. Just in my, I have him 50 points lower. I got him at 168.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We have got to target a game that Felix pitches out here. I don't know if he's going to go pitch for the WBC. I don't remember anything like that. But let's be on the lookout for that week of to try to get ourselves some Felix, because I want to scream his name from the mountaintops, Bogman. Prime, one of those older.
He's one of the most fun players to watch.
Yeah,
one of the most fun. Absolutely. I love the King's Corner. I love all the stuff they do with him in Seattle. Just, I have a good way of separating, man. And yeah. I love watching him. I don't want him on my team.
You love Lamb.
All right, we're going to take a break here, but coming back, you know it. It's more of what you're getting. You love it. It's the ranks analysis. Yahoo and ESPN, where you're getting deals. More of it coming up after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, let's go take a look at the ESPN now. Highs and lows. All right, we're going to start with the ESPN lows here. And interesting to look at, I think we had talked about this, about some of this outfield stuff. Right off the bat, the top two that we have on our list on the lows are two outfielders. Two that I like, by the way. So ESPN, I should go play on ESPN. I might get some advantage here. George Springer, one of my favorite players on the planet. Wish he would start stealing bases again. Yahoo has him at 27, so they're kind of on the high. 41 on ESPN. There's a full round difference, 14 spots. But the Fantasy Pros consensus is 30, and NFBC is 32. So it definitely, it's ESPN is on the low side. And then AJ Pollock, who is at 32 on Yahoo, but 59 on ESPN. That is a 27 spot differential, and he's about in the mid 30s on Fantasy Pros and NFBC. So ESPN is aggressively lower. They're the Bogman of this rank, saying that his injuries are a problem. I'm just putting words in their mouth. What do you think about these two studly outfielders and ESPN kind of dropping them down?
Well, you know how I feel about AJ Pollock. So,
Where do you have AJ Pollock? Do you have him in your top 100?
I have him. Yeah, he's at 96. I have him really low. I'm never going to take AJ Pollock. He's going to play half a season, so I don't want him. And he's probably only going to play in the first half, not the back half. I don't want anything to do with AJ Pollock this year. I've said it before.
I hate your hate.
I love the dude. I'll go buy his jersey. I will not put him on my fantasy team. So, I love AJ Pollock. I love watching him play. He's a hustle guy. The dude is made of glass. He's Samuel Jackson from Unbreakable. I don't want any part of him. So I agree with the lower the better on Pollock for me. Springer, I have a 29. So I'm much higher on Springer. Springer is like, he's got, if they were both healthy, I'd have Pollock ahead of Springer. But Springer's been healthy. Pollock hasn't. So I like what they both do. So I'm going to have Springer much, much higher. And I think they're low. I don't like that ranking on Springer.
It's interesting. I have Springer higher than the Yahoo rank because I think very highly of him. But I have Pollock lower than not only the Yahoo, but the NFBC or Fantasy Pros consensus. But he's totally a target of mine. Like, Pollock is the quintessential fourth round pick. When I'm in that round that I don't love, I would love to get AJ Pollock, because I'm assuming Giancarlo Stanton will already be gone at that point. I mean, I assume like Stanton would go ahead, but AJ Pollock is like a prime fourth round. It's just interesting. What is it with these two guys? Because they're not the same. Like, they're very different players. Like, Pollock is a stolen base. I mean, Pollock could easily go 20-30 and hit 300 with a bunch of runs. And Springer, I mean, I'd like to say he could, but he doesn't run anymore. Springer's like a 30-plus, 100 RBI type of guy. They're different outfielders, but why does ESPN have them lower?
I think it's injury. And by the way, I just looked up Stanton, and he's 36 on Yahoo, 42 on ESPN. So
Okay. So Stanton is one spot behind Springer, only one on ESPN, but he's on the what was it on Yahoo?
36.
So he's behind Pollock on there. I'm actually surprised.
End of the third round. I'm very surprised at that. Like, Stanton has the potential to be the number one player. I mean, the dude could hit 60 bombs, right? But I don't think he's ever going to hit more than 40 because he just never stays healthy. So sure. I think these rankings are they're appropriate on opposite ends. I feel like this is kind of the high on Springer, right? And definitely the high on Pollock, as far as I'm concerned. And then ESPN kind of has him on the low end of what they can do. Like, if Springer bottoms out an average, he's still going to put up runs and RBIs and homers. Pollock, yeah, I think it obviously much lower than 59, but that's kind of like if he played the whole season and just didn't do something, like the power didn't come back and he only hit 10. You know, this is kind of the range where he would be in too. So I think it's almost different philosophies. It's almost like Yahoo ranks on the positive side and ESPN ranks on the negative side.
Speaking of philosophies, here's an interesting one, and something we didn't really point out, is there is an ESPN philosophy of the anti-catcher, because you've got Gary Sanchez, who is 62 on Yahoo, going 107 on ESPN, and Jonathan Lucroy, who's 82 on Yahoo, which that seems a little bit low, just from the, you know, positionally of like what we've talked about.
Yeah.
But 127 on ESPN. How many freaking catchers do they have in the first round? It's got to be one. It's got to be Posey. Because who else? Because if Schwarber doesn't qualify in ESPN, Posey's
right
in the top 100. There can't be another one. So they're saying
ESPN rankings punt catchers.
Yeah, which I don't disagree with. I totally don't disagree with that. I'm with them. But what that does, though,
I'd be doing cartwheels if I could get Lucroy at 127. I'd look just like Chris Farley doing them.
Dude.
So,
I mean, I know we all scream Gary Sanchez can't go on his pacing numbers, but if I could get Gary Sanchez like anywhere 80 plus, I'm in. And I hate drafting catchers, but 80 plus, I'm in on Gary Sanchez, and freaking ESPN has him post 100.
Yeah, it's weird. It's what Yahoo does to relief pitchers, ESPN does to catchers.
That's so funny. And hey, guess what?
And I would rather have a catcher because you only need one.
And by the way, we paired those guys in an episode together, our catchers and our closers episode. It's
right.
So funny that both sides
right
picked against them.
Yeah, you want the catcher because you only need one. If you take the reliever, now you have to pair the reliever, I feel like, anyway. What about the next guy, the Welsh, David Dahl? Yahoo has him at 70, stripping just any value that you could
zero
get out
equity
of David Dahl
zero equity
out of him. But ESPN has him at 133, Fantasy Pros at 86, NFBC at 91. I almost could have put this one
I
in
was
the,
about
the
to
questionable
say
rank.
This is all over the board.
Is Yahoo too high or is ESPN too low?
Yahoo's too high.
When you first looked at it,
Yahoo's too high.
100% agree. I 100% agree because Parra. I mean, David Dahl wasn't in the starting lineup in that first game. Parra was, and they paid Parra a lot of money. I'm afraid of him. It's one of those things where you can get as excited as you're going to be on David Dahl, and I've been sitting on him in our league, the Welsh, our long term league,
forever,
for a long time. I've had him since he's like 18 years old, and you kept saying, get rid of David Dahl. I'm like, I want a Rockies outfielder,
You don't need that David Dahl guy. So what's funny, too, when you look projections, everybody's in on him projection-wise. 23 homers, 19 stolen bases for the depth chart projections.
Jeez.
Zips has him 23 and 18. I mean, I'm looking here, 15 and 14, 18 and 17. He's a good player, but they definitely have a lot of flexibility. You got Ian Desmond. I mean, not saying it's going to happen because I don't think it necessarily is going to, but remember all those rumors about Jose Abreu coming to the Rockies?
Right.
What if a Joey Gallo? I don't know. I'm just like, David Dahl could be great, but this is a case where I'll just not have his good season. Like, someone else will reap the benefits of that. The equity is stripped out of it. If I pinned you down, Bogman, and said, you have to take David Dahl at 70, or if you believe in ESPN ranks, you're not getting him. So take David Dahl at 70, or you don't get him. What do you do?
Well, that's Yahoo ranks. ESPN has him at 133.
No, but I'm saying, like ESPN, I don't think that's realistic either. I think that's bonkers stuff. ESPN is way low on him just when you're talking value. Not a single one here has him under 100. His differential is 63 spots between Yahoo and ESPN. That's a lot.
That's ridiculous. I'm not taking David Dahl this season because of Gerardo Parra. I have him at 102. So I have him in, you know, dead center between these two. So, I mean,
gross. I have him higher than you. I have David Dahl higher than you. It's so funny.
Well, I'm not surprised. Like, I bet you, if we did dynasty ranks, I'd have him much higher than
you. And I'll bet you, but regardless of you having him lower than me in redraft, you would own him before I would.
Probably
because
too.
Of drafting habits.
I'm not messing with him this year. I bet in 8 leagues I'll have him in. Well, I already definitely have him in a keeper league. I'll probably have him in one redraft league.
I want to talk about two pitchers here, which I find are really interesting. Two guys that I'm in on for the most part. Jameson Taillon, who owns one of the biggest differentials that we have on this entire list. He's 119 on Yahoo, which that's high, by the way. But 217 on ESPN, which gives it a 98 spot differential, and his average is about 150. And the other guy is Lance McCullers, who you're talking high end K per nine. He's the best pitcher in Houston. It's not an argument. Very, very popular sleeper. He's been going, the Fantasy Pros is 144, NFBC is 176. Yahoo has put their stamp down and said, we got him 125 because they're obviously high end on the depth starting pitchers like we talked about. But ESPN says, middle fingers up, 205. 80 spots. They put a Jerry Rice up between him.
I think I'm in on McCullers. I mean, Jesus, how many of those stats did we go over on our pitcher episode? I have him just below where Yahoo does. I think I'm kind of with ESPN on Taillon. I think I'm lower on Taillon.
Boy, I can't. I mean, Taillon at 217. I don't know, dude.
I have a 185. I mean, I might move him up in the new ranks, but I think I'm still going to be closer to ESPN than in Yahoo.
I'm in full agreement that if given the choice, Lance McCullers at 125 or no Lance McCullers, I'll take him at 125. And I also agree with what you're saying. I'm not going to take Ty. They have Taillon over McCullers. And I don't think so. Like, I like Taillon this year. I think he's a cheap option.
Let me give you pitchers going under Taillon in average draft position on Yahoo, and you tell me.
Okay.
Stroman. Nola.
I really like Nola this year, so yeah, I'll go Nola.
Mats.
I'll go Mats.
Gossman.
I got all these guys. Like, I'm not.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Rourke, Samardzija. McCullers is going below him.
Yeah, well, that's insane.
Tony Gray, Jay Happ, Vince Velasquez. Like, I'm taking most of these guys over.
Most of all those guys. I mean, what Taillon does offer is low-end walks per nine, which, by the way, I love. Like, he was 1.4 last year, walks per nine. That's elite pitcher type of stuff that you're looking for. Lots of ground balls. We gave up some homers. He can definitely improve that. He had his ERA to xFIP was actually, like, very similar in the low threes. I think he's a great option this year. I don't want him at 118, and I mean, if I got him at the ESPN low, I would be ecstatic about it.
You've got to meet somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah.
Like, he's a 160-ish, 150-ish type of guy, right?
I agree. I have him even a little bit lower than that, and I'll probably bump him up, actually, kind of seeing some of this stuff. So I will buy Lance McCullers at his Yahoo, but I think both ESPN on both of these players is just, it's just way off. I don't agree.
And this is the weird thing, right? That we talked about earlier, where they're super high on guys like David Price and Verlander, and then they're super low on guys like Taillon and McCullers and where they come at deals.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's I like drafting pitchers in ESPN more than I do in Yahoo, which is strange to say.
Other unique ones, just throwing them out there real quick. Tomas has a 49 spot difference between Yahoo and ESPN, 146 Yahoo, 197 ESPN. Keon Broxton, who is very divisive. People are very angry about us talking positive about Keon Broxton. 182 on Yahoo, 221 on ESPN. Hunter Renfro is in the 210s to 260 range between the two sites. Dallas Keuchel, ESPN just says nah, which understandably. 126 on Yahoo, which is just get out of here. Yahoo, you're drunk with Dallas Keuchel at 126, and 181 is ESPN's. And Mr. Spring Training himself, Miguel Franco, 123 on Yahoo, but 182 on ESPN. If you got him anywhere near his ESPN, you're getting a steal. But all the other sites are with Yahoo on Franco. So those are some of the ESPN lows. So let's go take a look at the ESPN highs, Bogman. And like you said, there's a lot of starting pitchers. So talk to me about how about these first two that jump out to you here?
Well, there's just a lot to to take away from this. But they got Price at 31, where Yahoo has him 50. His NFBC is 44. His FBC, his Fantasy Pros consensus is 47. And Verlander's at 37.
The in a row?
37. My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
And Yahoo has him at 53, and he's Fantasy Pros consensus 48, and FBC 42. So he's kind of in the middle there. I mean, it's just a philosophy thing that the rankers at ESPN like taking pitching early because the pitching is more finicky this year than it even has been in the past. I mean, it's finicky every single year.
Yeah, check this out. I'm going to throw a couple. I just want to throw, because we're not going to go through all these, but I'm going to throw some names at you since we're talking starting pitchers. So let's keep with the theme. They have Gausman, who is 131 on Yahoo. That's the same. He's 130 in Fantasy Pros and even lower on NFBC at 150 ADP. ESPN has Gausman at 96. How about a couple others?
Player.
Drew Smyly is 209 on Yahoo, but 144 on ESPN. This is my favorite one. This is the biggest differential that I can possibly see on any single player. Drew Pomeranz is 237 on Yahoo. He's 200 on he's 200 plus on Fantasy Pros and NFBC. On ESPN, 136. That is a 103 spot difference between websites. You're right. It's a pitching philosophy with ESPN where they're pushing these guys up, which is going to cost you, if you play an ESPN, a higher price tag on pitching that you need to be aware of. Where Yahoo, it's actually a little bit more standard on some of these guys, not all of them.
Yeah, it's a strange way to go about it, but especially with Drew Pomeranz, it's like Yahoo is buying Boston Drew Pomeranz and ESPN is buying Oakland Drew Pomeranz.
I guess that's huge, man.
It's really strange, and it's really strange to see Pomeranz and Iwakuma in this and Desclafani in this as high, and then McCullers and Tyon is low, isn't it?
Yeah, what is with that? That's a great point. Let's go. I'm going to go back and look at this. McCullers, they have at 205. They have Desclafani at 134. Why?
I don't understand.
It's like an 80-spot difference. Why?
Don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. It does not make sense. Wookiees don't live on Endor. You must acquit. I think that's what we have to say.
Yeah, you totally nailed it. So, and inverse, I would also say this is something to be aware of if you're playing on ESPN. You might get tricked into thinking you're getting deals. Like, oh, hey, Desclafani is 134 and I'm at 140 and he's still there. What a deal. When McCullers is still sitting out there. I don't agree with that at all. So you
I like Desclafani this year, but Jesus, over McCullers, over time.
He's 223 on NFBC and 199 on Fantasy Pro. So you can be lulled into a false sense of security that you're getting deals on players because of ESPN's rankings. So that's why it's important. Also, the statement we should have probably thrown out before anything, going by default rankings is a problem, and beware of default rankings. Make sure that you've adjusted this stuff because they're kind of mess with you here. So we talked about starting pitchers here. Let's talk about a few hitters. Christian Yelich is a really interesting one where
too high.
He is going really high in ESPN. 52 Yahoo. He's 50 to 60 between Fantasy Pros and NFBC, but they have him at 38. 38.
I mean, I loved buying Yelich last season. But
you're getting a deal though
this season. Yeah, you were getting a deal this season. You're not getting a deal. I mean, look, he was good last year. Hit 300 with 21 homers and 9 stolen bases. But I mean, I could easily see that 9 stolen bases going to 5. It could also go to 15. So that's kind of why I'm avoiding Yelich. I feel like he's risky. Like I have him 57. So he's just too risky for me to be taken in the top.
I have Yelich at 58, by the way.
Yeah,
look at us.
agreeing.
I thought this was interesting when we talked about, you know, how deep second base is, and you look at some of these players. ESPN has doubled down big time on the ranks of these second basemen. So obviously you're looking at maybe, you know, positionally, and you're looking at pure stats. Where what was it? ESPN had Altuve at 2 overall. Is that right? Well, they also have a couple other second basemen way higher. Ian Kinsler, who's 69 on Yahoo. Nice. And he's 52 on ESPN, though. And DJ LeMahieu, who's 90 on Yahoo, but 73 on ESPN. And the Fantasy Pros NFBC sides with the Yahoo version of these players. I really like DJ LeMahieu, by the way.
This is the ultimate buying last year's numbers.
Okay.
I feel like.
And I've got a test for you. ESPN, you have to buy Ian Kinsler at 52 or DJ LeMahieu at 73.
Whoever's lower. So I'll take LeMahieu.
Easy DJ LeMahieu for me here. Easy DJ
LeMahieu. Yeah, I mean, it's not easy DJ LeMahieu. Like, I mean, Kinsler was so good last year.
Sure.
I do feel like he's super underrated. But he's not underrated to go in the fifth round. There's other guys that I want. And second base, like I said before, is deep enough. I feel like Ian Kinsler is that guy that falls into the seventh round of every draft. And you're like, oh,
why God. Is he still here? I got to take him.
Why is he still here? You're totally. Right. You're like, don't make me take him. Somebody else. I don't want
Hey, everybody. I'm going to be the guy now. Yeah. And I'm going to take Ian Kinsler.
Everybody does it. I'll stop the slide. That's what everybody said.
Oh, everybody's so funny.
And then boom, me and Kinsler goes.
Everybody is so funny. And you know what I love too? After they say, I'll stop the slide, the next comment is, I just couldn't believe that he was still there.
Yeah.
These are the tropes.
I can't believe it.
Any others that you want to focus on here? Because there is a lot that ESPN is aggressively.
I don't know why they're so high on Jose Bautista at 70.
Oh,
when he's going off at 100. He's going off at 100 in Yahoo.
You're buying 2015 numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand that.
Okay, I got one for you, Bogman. Would you rather Jose Bautista at 70 or Carlos Santana, who they have at 79?
Santana.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
Santana stays on the field.
Yeah. Oh, I got one for you.
Joe Betts can't stay at DH.
Ian Kinsler at 52 or Bautista at 70?
Oh God, Kinsler.
Okay, Kinsler. I'm just checking.
I can buy Miguel Sano, who's the same guy at 145 or whatever they have him at 110. Even it's the same guy, Joey Bats and Miguel Sano. I mean, Bats is in a much better lineup, but I feel like he's going to miss more games than Sano.
How about
so the numbers should be somewhat similar?
How about this last one? And if you want, again, I'll just repeat. If you guys want to see this list, go to the article page of this episode, and I'll have this stuff posted under the episode. This last one on the ESPN highs, Dansby Swanson, 211. On Yahoo, he's 190, 180 is the NFBC Fantasy Pros type of rankings. ESPN has him at 167. What do you think that is? Do you think that's the shortstop position where I don't think it definitely, I mean, it's not, I think, it's a known fact. It does not have the same depth that second base has. Do you think this is pushing down these final tiers of shortstops that might produce? I mean, this is a young shortstop in a pretty good Atlanta, you know, lineup.
I'm more on the Yahoo side with Dansby. He's so young. He only saw 38 games last year. He did hit 300. I'm excited for his upside, but I know, especially in our leagues, we have so many Braves fans. I'm not going to be the guy that gets him. So I'm going to let somebody else be excited about him.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I'll take, you know, Tim Anderson saw a bunch of games last year and he didn't really get figured out. So I'm excited about Tim Anderson. Whereas Swanson, you know, he was good, but I don't know if it's all believable yet.
All right, final segment is coming up here. Don't go anywhere. We're going to cap this baby off with our final talk of our ranks analysis on all the major sites for your fantasy baseball season. But don't go anywhere. It's In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, well, let's now we're going to finish this off talking about the crazy stuff where one site has guys. One site has guys over here and they don't have them over there, as well as an unconsensus on players. So let's go take a look at that right now. First one up, Bogman, why don't you say his name?
Clayton Kershaw.
Ah, very good. Say my name. This is one of those situations, by the way, where we're splitting hairs. The differential is what it is, but there's just no consensus on Clayton Kershaw this year. 3 overall on Yahoo, 11 on ESPN, 7 on Fantasy Pros, and 5 on NFBC. I mean, he's a first rounder. There's no question about that. But where is all over the map.
Yeah, and it's funny that ESPN has so much love for all these pitchers, and then they have him at 11, and Yahoo has him at 3, right?
Yeah, maybe it's the depth. That's why they're just saying, don't right. go any. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I side with ESPN on this.
I'm closer to ESPN than I am Yahoo for sure, but I don't know. This is kind of like a philosophy question again. You know, do you want to go with pitchers early? I guess Yahoo thinks that, and maybe Yahoo has them ranked a little higher all the way across the board in most cases, because pitching is finicky this year and it's hard to come by. But I mean, even Kershaw got hurt last year, so I'm not taking him at 3. I don't think I can take a pitcher at 3. You know, I was mad because I was so bad in starting pitching last year because I had taken Patrick Corbin in all my leagues. So when we did that first mock, I was like, I'm taking Kershaw 1.
Yeah.
I'll never do that.
No.
So it's Trout.
Outside of Kershaw, though, I mean, you know, he is who he is. And, you know, if you're playing in a points league, you're playing in Roto, this all changes. And that affects where these ranks are as well. And you can understand the non-consensus. But there's two players that play for the same team that I find very interesting this year, because there is no consensus on where they go, because it's this is hard to read the room. It's for the Milwaukee Brewers. It's Ryan Braun and Jonathan VR. I'm going to give you the numbers real quick and let's talk about it. Braun, 24 on Yahoo, 35 on ESPN, 29 on Fantasy Pros, and 49 on NFBC. That's kind of all over the map. I mean, you're talking anywhere from second round to like fourth or fifth round. And then Jonathan VR, you want to talk about differentials as well. He's a tough one. 49 on Yahoo, 36 on ESPN, Fantasy Pros is 37, and NFBC is 20. I mean, the differential is big between Yahoo and ESPN.
That's the ultimate paying for last year.
Well, I mean,
his NFBC ADP.
Yeah, his stats are phenomenal. I mean, when you're looking at power speed combo, I don't know. It's hard to make an argument that any player was better than Jonathan VR last year. When you think about the true combination between homers and stolen bases, you got elite stolen bases, and to get like almost 20 homers, that's pretty crazy. But I cannot pay the NFBC price. I never will. I could definitely pay the Yahoo price, but I think the ESPN price is where it's at. I mean, that's the Fantasy Pros consensus. I think that's where you got to go with it. He's an early third round pick, and I can't go anywhere else with him.
I wish I liked
or late
Ryan
third
Braun.
Round pick, by the way.
I wish I liked Ryan Braun. I mean, like I never personally? Will ever. And on that, no, I mean, I'll never. I just wish I would take him, because I feel like in some of these leagues, he's another guy. Like, he is the high version of Ian Kinsler. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Where you get to the fourth round and somebody snaps up Ryan Braun, and then they're doing the "I can't believe he was here," all that, you know, same old trope that we've heard a million times.
Yeah,
but I don't like, why are people afraid of Ryan Braun? I hate him, so I won't take him. Are people still like afraid of steroids, injuries? What is it with him?
I think kind of maybe everything you just said. They're afraid of him being traded. Where does he go? Injuries, because he's definitely had some injury stuff. He hasn't played over 104. I mean, he still played 140 games, but 135, 140, and 135.
30-16, hit .305 last year, 91 driven in with 80 runs scored, and he should be traded to a better team.
It's okay, like, good point. Bogman.
All the stuff adds up for Ryan Braun. I can't do it. Like, I hate his guts.
You're playing
so much.
ESPN, Ryan Braun or Jonathan VR, because they're one pick next to each other. You have to take one. This is it's like essentially the last pick in the third round.
VR. The upside, like the stolen base, is just so much. I feel like I'd have to go with VR. Like, because what's the downside on VR? 40 swipes, 35 if you're looking really bad. Like, if he has a hamstring injury, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, 10 homers, 35, 40 stolen bases. You're probably right. It's minimal.
Right. It is minimal. And I think the downside for Braun is the injuries. I hope that you're far enough away from the steroid stuff to where he wouldn't be stupid enough to do that stuff all again. So I feel like the downside for him is injuries, but I feel like he's also going to be in a better lineup. So I would go with VR. VR, okay. for the higher upside, but that's tough.
Let's blow through a couple others here. Chris Davis, Crush Davis. Yahoo is 61. ESPN's 91, so you got 30-point differential. Fantasy Pros says 62, and NFBC says 81. So Fantasy Pros and Yahoo are in agreement. NFBC and Yahoo are closer to agreement. Can I speak for both of us that we're both on the ESPN side on this?
Yeah, I mean, just like I see the kind of team that you build with Crush, and it's like I would rather
low average big homer team.
I'd rather take the risk on Crush where he's going in most leagues than take the risk on Jonathan VR in the second on the high end of VR. Like I'd rather go with I'd rather Crush at 61 than VR at 20.
I don't disagree with that. What about the other Chris Davis? 99 on ESPN. Okay, no. Well, let's use the Yahoo one. 63. He's gone pretty high in Yahoo. 73 for Chris Davis on Yahoo, or 61 for Chris Davis on Yahoo. So Crush is 61. Chris is 73. Who would you rather have?
Ugh. I
look at C, position two.
C Chris. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, C Chris.
Okay.
I also don't like anyone playing for the A's. So.
Well, you just don't hate guys.
Bob Melvin. Bob Melvin has ruined the A's for me.
Your list is so large. It's like all A's, Ryan Braun, anyone who's ever cheated. Texas A&M, if you live in Baltimore.
Sorry, I don't forget things. Okay. Yeah, okay. I have a hardcore memory. I don't forget.
How about this one?
I'll remember forever.
How about this one? This is ultimate decisiveness. Is Billy Hamilton. 87 Yahoo, 58 ESPN. Fantasy Pro says 90, and NFBC says 50.
So weird.
It's all over. I mean, ESPN and Yahoo are 29-point differential, 29 spots. But then even Fantasy Pros and NFBC, they are 40 spots between each other.
This is the one guy I'm willing to take that is like a 2-3 category chump. You know, I know that he only does a couple things, but this dude can steal one. This Billy Hamilton right here, he can steal 100 bases, dude, and I would not be surprised. He is blinding fast, super, super speedy. This dude can steal 100 bases, and you're going to want him on your team when he does that. And if the batting average holds, which is a big finger cross, you know, I don't like to use the word if too many times. I won't ever do if Stanton stays healthy, if Pollock stays healthy, if Strasburg stays healthy. I won't do those, but I'll do the if Billy Hamilton can hit 275. He's stealing 80 bases.
You know, I wonder if Billy Hamilton's going to become the speed version of Giancarlo Stanton. You kind of alluded to it. Like, take away the injuries for a moment. It's always, man, you know, John or the coulds, I should say, not the ifs. These are the coulds. Stan could hit 50, and then it's Billy Hamilton could steal 100. Are we always going to say could, and it's never going to be in the past tense where it was like, man, he did. I don't know if
we'll see.
Like, what's more likely, 50
forget.
Homers from this Stanton or 100 stolen bases from Hamilton?
Oh, I feel like the stolen bases for Hamilton. I mean, that's why I'm willing to take it.
I would go stand on that. We could make that a bet. Not a garlic bet. Get away from me. I'm not doing a garlic bet ever again. But I would do a bet.
How about we do $25 if one of them doesn't do, like if both of them don't hit it. So,
oh well, if both of them don't hit it, then it's null and void. But if one of them hits
I meant like, you know, both of them can't hit it. Like both of them can't. They you know, Hamilton steals 100 and Stanton hits 50.
Yeah, it's null and
void. Some stroke of God this year. Yeah, or if neither one of them do it. Yeah,
okay. All both null and void. We agree.
We'll do. How about $25?
$25. Yeah, I'm in.
U.S. currency. All right.
U.S. currency. Yeah, exactly. Not in garlic. I'm not paying in garlic for sure. So I just, by the way, I'm a Billy Hamilton guy.
I totally understand your point. It is 1,000% valid. But I do think that there are some guys you have to take a risk on. You can't play every single pick safe.
A thousand years ago, I have always agreed with you here. And I have Billy Hamilton as high or probably higher than you do. And I would take him in that spot because everything you're saying is correct. So you and I both fall in the ESPN and NFBC. Well, how high do you have him?
I highly doubt you have
him. I bet you I do.
Okay, hold on. Let's play a game.
Let's measure. Whose is bigger? Guarantee I have him higher.
I got him at 50. Nope, I have him at 47.
Oh, shit. All right, you win. I got him at 52. Wow, you're so high on Billy Hamilton. Who is this Bogman? I don't even know this person. That is really high.
Well, okay. Hey, you're allowed to change your mind from year to year.
That's very, very true.
I don't know if I would change a lot of philosophy, but I mean, I can change my mind. How about Jose Ramirez? Speaking of changing your mind, Yahoo just said, I don't care what he did last year. We're going to put him at 170.
Wow.
ESPN put him at 104. Fantasy Pros 121. NFBC 94. I feel like he deserves a little more credit than what Yahoo is giving him.
Yeah,
but I don't know if he's on top 100 player.
Yeah, I'm a little wonky on Jose Ramirez on the high end of buying. I mean, there's already been positive reports. Bogman, this is not to keep harping the point, but this he is one of the major reasons for you and I to go see a Cleveland Indians game this next coming week here. I'd love to take another look at him because there are just more positive reports coming out. He's hitting the ball hard. I mean, last year 11 homers, 22 stolen bases. All projections put him right at the same territory. He's in a killer lineup this year in Cleveland. Not that it wasn't last year. Still gotta love it. I don't know where I have him on my ranks, and I have to look. And I'll bet you I was kind of crapping on him a little bit, but he's gonna go up. Yahoo is too low. I shouldn't say probably. It is too low. 94 is too high for me. That will never happen. I'm actually probably on the Fantasy Pro side. I'm in that 115 to 130, I think is a really nice spot for him where you're not paying too high.
I'm at 115.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. See, I think you're in a good spot. I'd have to. I mean, like I said, I have him at 135 right now. That's where I have him sitting. So
I think that's more fair. It's much more fair than 170.
Yeah. No, I think 170
is not a top 100 player, but also not a below 150, I think is fair.
Yeah. And he could jump into that 125, like I said. So I think that's an unfair one. But Yahoo, this is what I'm saying. You're going to be able to take advantage of a player like Jose Ramirez, who has multiple position eligibility and is a sneaky guy. He's sitting at 170. When people on ESPN and if you're looking at NFBC, they're taking him at about 100. You could probably get him in the 130s and 140s, and he's a great buy. And then the last one I want to focus on in this, at least, and there's more on the list, is I forgot to say this when we were talking about him in the starting pitcher ranks episode we did, is James Paxton. I really like James Paxton a lot this year. I didn't forget to say that. But one of the interesting things when I was looking at James Paxton's numbers, and I was just trying to find the trends, and a lot of people are kind of high on him this year, and you're trying to see, like, what did he do? What was the thing? What would you say you do here that was so different? Well, last year, from the previous years, his fastball, he threw 8% lower. Okay, there's a number. Curveball was about the same, and he threw his changeup less. So he threw less fastballs and less changeups and the same amount of curveballs. So what changed, Bogman? He threw his cutter 13% more often. In 2015, he threw it 3.9% of the time. 2014, 5.9% of the time. In 2016, 15.7% of the time, he threw his cutter, which was right at 90 miles an hour. Yeah, every time. He's hitting almost 97 on the fastball, about 90 on the cutter, and he can bring it down on the curveball at about 82. The cutter was the success. We've seen this with lots of pitchers. Now, all the pitchers that leave Arizona. Jake Arrieta, dude. When pitchers leave Arizona, they're allowed to throw the cutter again, and then they become amazing. That's a sign right there of the maturation of this player. He's going to continue the success. success this year. High-end strikeouts. I like it. I think he could be a 9K per 9 type of guy. Last year, he kept under 2 walks per 9, which is a key number for me, and he kept his homers down, all in lieu of throwing a ton of cutters. So ESPN has him at 194, Yahoo at 132. He's 179 on NFBC, 164 on Fantasy Pros. I side more on the Yahoo side. That's where ESPN, you could take major advantage and get James Paxton like 150 plus, and I think you're getting a steal.
It's funny that I didn't look at any of these rankings before I did myself. I got him at 162, so I got him split like dead down the center between ESPN and Yahoo.
I have him at 129, by the way. So that's I'm high on. I told you I'm high on James Paxton this year. This is one of my guys.
James Paxton and mushrooms you're high on.
That's right.
And, all the
and
time.
Garlic. Last thing real quick. Bogman, why don't you blast through? There were a couple. We really thought this was interesting. And this is an interesting thing for you guys to go look at when you're talking about like the differentials on sites. There are guys that were in the 200 range. There are some names that are on one site and they're not even in the top 300 of the other. And it goes for both ESPN and Yahoo. Why don't you list the ESPN and then I'll list the some of the Yahoo ones.
Well, the ESPN ones I found interesting were, you know, I've told you guys before, I like Ivan Nova for this season. Like, he's a guy you can take at the very end of your draft, especially if you're in Yahoo, because he's not in the top 300, going undrafted in your standard leagues. Manny Margot, undrafted in your standard leagues. Ben Revere, I don't know how good he's going to be, but he might lead off for the Angels. There's only 30 leadoff
hitters. Dude, Josh Harrison.
Josh Harrison, probably going to start at third while Drunky McDrunkface gets his act together. And Cesar Hernandez was the biggest one. He's ranked low in ESPN at 259, not in the top 300 on Yahoo.
Well, it's actually high. He's ranked good on ESPN at 259 because that's better than Fantasy Pros or NFBC, and he doesn't show up on Yahoo. Cesar Hernandez, freaking love this year.
Yeah, I like him. I mean, you know, you wait on middle infield, that's a guy you get. I think Yahoo has even more interest.
Yeah, well, check this out. Okay, so here are players,
ESPN,
like we said.
Not on ESPN list. Sorry.
These are players that are on Yahoo's top. There are some that are in the hundreds, by the way, that don't even show up on ESPN, most in the 200s. Here are some names that don't show up on ESPN's top 300. Matt Holliday, who's 168 on Yahoo.
Cleanup hitter.
Jarrell Cotton. Give me a break. 199 on Yahoo.
That guy can have 200 strikeouts.
It doesn't even show up. Josh Bell, starting first baseman for the Pirates, doesn't show up. Junior Guerrera, Alex Cobb, 213, doesn't show up on ESPN. Justin Bour, there's a low-end first baseman. Greg Bird, Justin Bour, guys to take a look at. Both don't
if
show up on there.
Batting average.
Yeah.
Ryan Schimpf.
One of the players I forgot to mention I saw on Sunday, Sinsu Chu, he was alive. He was actually playing, and he is 252 on Yahoo and is unranked on ESPN. That's really fascinating that ends up happening.
Yeah, Chu's one of those guys that, you know, he hits 280 this year with 15 and 10 and nobody bats an eyelash, but he was undrafted in a bunch of leagues.
Yeah.
You know, it's strange the way that works. You know, you disappear for a little bit because you're having some injury problems and then you come right back. We've seen plenty of players do that. So that's not a surprising one. Or, you know, even if you're in a deeper league, these are some late guys too. I mean, Tyler Naquin is supposed to start for the Indians.
We'll see.
And he had a pretty decent year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I know you're right about that. But that is all she wrote. It was the Ranks Analysis Show. And believe me, there's a whole bunch more at InThisLeague.com. We did 5 straight Ranks episodes, positional episodes. So if you want to go look at that, it's episodes like 109 through 113 or something like that. You can get our conversation on every single rank tier that we put together. We've got this. We've got mock draft shows. Plus, we've got a ton of other sports all at InThisLeague.com. And you can find out how you can be a part of the action. You can support us. You can talk with us. You can get some of our comedy shows that we do at patreon.com/ITL Army, or really just like I said, InThisLeague.com. It's got the links, it's got all the info, and you can always find us on Twitter at @IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Bogman, more spring training, it's coming. Are you ready?
I am ready to go. I've got more food scattering reports on the way for everybody. I know that's what they're concerned about. So
what is the next
coming
food that you plan
don't
to eat? Are you gonna eat some ridiculous like hot dog that's 12,000 calories?
You know, I let the park decide for me. So I get in there and I got to do a lap around the park, see all the options that we got. Then I make the decision. You know how I am. So nothing like I usually never get the best thing in the park because I refuse to wait in that long of a line.
That's true.
So I hate lines. I hate them so much. But if it's like if one thing is just so much better than anything else, then I'll wait in the line for that. If I'm there early, I'm not going to miss any of the game time.
There's a lot of ifs with you. Ifs and buts and candies and nuts for things to work out properly. So really, you're going to go for the lowest hanging fruit, and it's probably going to be a 40 on the 80 food scale.
Yeah, just whatever's horrible there. Whatever looks the most horrible for you, that's probably what I'll be getting.
Well, hey, if you're looking for the worst possible food that you could eat, that'll make you feel great for about 2 minutes and then make you hate yourself, Bogman's your man. On Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Find me on Twitter, at Is It The Welsh. For In This League and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we'll be back with you soon. Bye-bye.
Floyo.